Thank you for being with us again today here at the CGMAP Prayer Line. I'm Reverend Patrick Boston, and I'm so glad that you could be with us again today. Sorry for my short hiatus away from teaching here on the Prayer Line and via the internet. I have been in surgery, and so I just got back home on Wednesday, and so I have been trying to get my wits about me and get my strength back and some things, and so I'm sorry if I've been a little negligent considering putting these studies out before you. But we are in chapter 3 again of the book of Ecclesiastes, and we're going to begin with verse 16 through 22. Solomon is pretty negative in these verses, once again drawing upon that pointlessness of life. And yet I want to point out to you before we read these scriptures in verses 16 through 22 that there's something to remember in the backdrop or in the setting of this fabric of scripture, and that is the fact that, one, there is an eternal being within us, and that is that soul element that God has placed within us. Also, that within humankind there is a mastery about it and or ability to handle the affairs and be the husbandman of creation. And so there is a stewardship there. And there are some different faculties about us with our conscience, etc., that is different than animals, despite kind of the negatory nature of these scriptures we're going to read from. So with that in mind, let's read verses 16 through 22 in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I saw something else under the sun. In the place of justice, there was wickedness. And in the place of what was right, there was wickedness again. I thought to myself, God will judge both righteous and wicked people, because there's a time for every matter and every deed. I also thought, where human beings are concerned, God tests them to show them that they are but animals, because human beings and animals share the same fate. One dies just like the other. Both have the same life breath. Humans are no better off than animals because everything is pointless. All go to the same place. All are from the dust. All return to the dust. Who knows if a human being's life breath rises upward while an animal's life breath descends into the earth? He gives a question there. So I perceived that there was nothing better for human beings but to enjoy what they do, because that is what they're allotted in life. Who really is able to see what will happen in the future? Now I know we do not have the eternal eyesight perspective of God. We do not have the understanding that he does, the wisdom. And yet, in Solomon, he gave that gift and ability, and yet it's almost as though he almost couldn't handle the gift in some areas as he was looking at all of what creation was. And in dealing here with various considerations of life, Solomon truly shows that even though he has been so blessed to, quote, have understanding beyond learning or education, with this great gift of wisdom God has given, yet he finds himself in this calculation of sense with life that is so amazing and at times very negative. You know, God gives us and he blesses us with so many things in life. And yet, our consideration of what God has given us sometimes is not very appreciative. And when a gift comes from God, and then we're blessed with it, and then we go forth in life and we kind of squander it and or we forget it was from God, sometimes we're brought to remembrance of it. And before the book of Ecclesiastes is done, you're going to see that Solomon gets a revelation. And we see glimpses and or have seen glimpses of it already. I was made to remember or consider the last few days a Christian artist that was one of my favorite Christian artists years ago, Andre Crouch. And I used to listen to his music all the time, and I still do. I love his music. We sing it in church sometimes. I've got confidence through it all, praises, etc. All songs that he's written. Well, Andre Crouch is an amazing person, but he was gifted by God in an extraordinary way that many of us have not been. When he was a young boy, they did not have a piano player in their church. And so the church, hey, said, we need a piano player. We need a musician. And they asked for somebody to volunteer, and they would lay hands on and pray for that person to receive the gift of music and the ability to play the piano. No doubt, this has happened before in their walk and talk with God, that the ministers there, his family and such, knew that God could do this. They'd seen it before or experienced it before or just trusted God for it. Andre came forward. Andre was prayed for. And to make a long story short, he was given the gift of music and began to play the piano. He became a very great Christian performing artist. But when the performance got a little bit more enhanced than the gifting, there was a time in his ministry he was reminded of that when he went to play at a certain venue and could barely scratch out a note, it seemed, and was dependent upon other people. He was reminded by the Holy Spirit that all he had, and even what he was doing in ministry, was all a gift of God. From what I recognized, from what I read, he learned to play music, even to enhance his abilities later on. However, that was a reminder to him, and it should be a reminder to us. Sometimes we forget what God has given us, what he's put within us. And Solomon, I believe, in a sense, had forgotten that as well to some point. Solomon here continues his survey of vanity and meaninglessness, this time examining the courts of the law. He pointed out that here was where people grasped for power rather than justice. And then they used that power to oppress others. As a result, wickedness reigned over the place of judgment instead of justice and compassion. I recognize that in this world we see a lot of injustice. We see people power hungry. We see people abuse power. We see people belittle others, almost treat people like slaves. And we get very angry about that. And sometimes we are so powerless to do anything otherwise. And we have to trust God to balance the scales of life. It's not a comfortable thing. And some people do get their due justice, as happened to many people after certain world wars and or after the falling of the Berlin Wall, etc., and what we found of Eastern Europe. However, it doesn't always happen or occur in our lifetime. Rather than giving in to pessimism and despair, however, the teacher voiced some hope, not much, but some, referring to the higher court, the justice of God. He stated his belief that the Lord would judge both righteous and wicked. Perhaps the wicked could get away with their evil deeds for the time of life, maybe, but in the end, God's justice will triumph. Solomon's thoughts then turn to another test all people must face. This test is the awareness that we all must die, as do the animals, Ecclesiastes 3:18. But humans and beasts have the same fate. They die alike. And in that respect, people have no advantage over animals because this is so. The teacher said once again that everything is meaningless. Verse 19. In a way, the question of death is just as difficult to deal with as is the question of injustice, at least for those who have no faith in God. For if there is no ultimate justice, and if we simply die off like snakes and sparrows, then life would indeed seem to be meaningless. Human bodies may be a different shape than those of animals, but the bodies of both are made of basically the same minerals and elements and chemicals. Thus, the fate of both is exactly the same, and all go to the same place, all come from dust, and to dust all return. Verse 20. He then asked a startling question. Who knows if the spirit of man rises upward and if the spirit of the animal goes downward into the earth? The Hebrew for spirit here is more literally translated breath of life. Essentially, if one perceives death only by what is observable, there is no demonstrable difference between the death of an animal and a man. There is no quantifying soul. The phrases rises upward and goes down into the earth highlight the distinction between humans and animals. Rises upward seems to imply that people have an afterlife that is dealt with by God, goes down, on the other hand, seems to imply that animals cease to exist. The teacher may have meant to startle his audience into action by posing such powerful questions. Instead of their giving up in the face of certain death, he desired for them to make the most of their opportunity to live for God while they had the spirit of life in them, the God breath. He elaborated on this desire in verse 22, criticizing the despairing attitude that focuses only on death. He urged people to make every minute count. He told them to enjoy the performance of their responsibilities while they may, if for no other reason than that of their own lot and their basic existence. Thus Solomon reaffirmed that even amidst the injustice and death, God's perfect plan is at work. Our time to serve him fully and joyfully is now. So let's make the most of the life that God has granted us. I have a question for you to consider. How can I make more of a productive contribution with my time in my life? How can I make a more productive contribution of my time in life? How do you manage your time? How do you manage what you do each and every day? I really appreciate people in my life who have been of such discipline that they prayed consistently every morning. They prayed consistently at night. They were determined to do so to keep things in order. And they had found in their life that these things were so necessary in the midst of all the goings and comings of life and the different things that could transpire that could set you off course. Our productivity is going to certainly be more and of greater potential if we can have a more disciplined and or opportunistic lifestyle, taking advantage of the things God has given us with the tools and the resources we have. And second, to discipline our bodies. So one, to handle the resources and use them wisely, which God has given us. And two, to discipline our bodies wisely and to use our time in a precious manner. A very dear friend of mine, Minister David Rose, is a very consistent individual. Former student at Moody Bible Institute and minister of the gospel and musician. He finds himself every morning praying, every morning consistently, never failing, and second of all, before he goes to bed, the same thing, consistently. And he, so much of the day, has a smile on his face and or is trying to be positive, even though there are times that things get on his nerves. Setting himself up to be in a better position than most to serve out God and to be able to honor the Lord. I have other pastors and friends that each morning they wake up and they plead the blood of the Lamb and they consecrate the day of the Lord, even as they're in bed, as they're rising. And then they do the same as they go to bed at night. There are those that I know of that at certain parts of the day, they discipline themselves that morning, noontime, and in the evening, they have a three-part prayer. I have never been that consistent. I've been very fortunate to have either a pretty good morning prayer life and or at the end of the evening, but not as consistent as I should, which at times has made me be less productive in handling that which God has given me more appropriately. To each and every one of us, I challenge you. I challenge myself to be better at handling the affairs of life and being productive. Not for the sake of just being productive or busy, because they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. And there is a place of just waiting upon God that is just as productive as anything else. But to do what you do wisely and to be filled with the Spirit. And if you can be filled with the Spirit, allow God's life to breathe through you, through the Holy Spirit, in whatever you do, I believe there's going to be anointing, there's going to be opportunity, and there's going to be fruit. And so tap in to the presence of God and be intimate with your Heavenly Father and let God bless you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word that we have shared one with another. I pray that some insights or considerations that were here in the scriptures and in exhortation will be received and be that which becomes life to each and every one. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would guide and help each one in their daily walk. And I pray, Lord, if there are any mountains to be removed that are obstacles in people's lives, I rebuke them in the name of Jesus and pray that that mountain would be removed. If there's sickness, if there is doubts, if there's fears, if there's problems in relationships, if there's financial distress, I pray, God, that you would give hope. And not just a flippant hope, but hope in the name of the Lord. And that faith, hope, and love would find itself relevant and real and tangible in their lives. And they would see the Lord's hand in their life in a special way today. We thank you and we praise you. We appreciate you so much, Lord. And we thank you for this new day in Jesus' name. God bless you and every one of you. Have a great day in Jesus' name.